You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 382, Dog & Pony Show Season 6, Episode 5, recorded November 2021, posted January 2023. Why is this castle this way?
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, Dungeon Master, he, him. It is Tuesday night. That means we are in Barovia, the land of misery. Not just anywhere in Barovia, but one castle Ravenloft, home of one Strahd von Zarovich, also occupied by not one, but I don't know, like 10 of these jerks who we call heroes. Allow me to introduce our players. They will introduce their characters and we will get right into the action, because let me tell you, they're being menaced by giant spiders. Are our players going to be killed by giant spiders? No, they have fought lots of giant spiders before. There's only like 5 of them. This is just a minor inconvenience, a spider road bump on the path to victory, but that's what we're going to have to deal with. I will introduce our players in the order that I see them on the screen, as determined by Dan Morin. First up, it's not Dan Morin, it's Jane Ritt. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Tony. I play Lena Dulina, the human rogue, and our pronouns are both she, her.
Thank you, Jane. Next up, it is Dan Morin. Oh. Dan Morin.
Hi, I'm second. Wow, what a change. This is nice. I am Dan.
You controlled the order that these names appear on the screen.
Let me move things around. I'll be first pretty soon. I'm Dan Morin. I play Cassian Onatar's Crucible, Warforged Cleric of the God Onatar, whose pronouns are they, them, while my pronouns are he, him.
Next up, it's my buddy, Aline Sims.
Hi, I pray.
I pray that you remember what your character's name is.
Thank you, because sometimes I don't.
Inhala's name.
I play Imbra Soliana, the Wood Elf Ranger, and her trusty pup, Androdite. All of our pronouns are she, her.
Next up, my nemesis. Not really. I think we're friends. I don't know. We don't really have a label for it. Erica Ensign.
Well, I'm going to put a label on it, and I'm going to say we are indeed friends.
All right. Can I borrow some money?
You can, in fact.
Oh, well, I'm good. I don't know how friends talk to each other. Dan, what do we do?
You're very mean to each other.
You're usually really mean to Dan. So
to each other? That's really overselling your mic.
That's true. Unidirectional. I take it back. You're right. It is unidirectional.
Yeah, so now Tony needs to start being mean to me.
Don't you dare.
Me, who is the person who plays Brildish, the dwarven paladin. Her pronouns, like mine, are she, her. And Brildish has a celestial pony named Pony Sindelarant, which that in itself, I think, is a reason for Tony to be mean to me. His pronouns are him. The ponies.
I really.
And Tony's.
I would just like to point out, we have spent a lot of time with Pony Sindelarant, hours and hours of our lives. Mm-hmm. And every week, I am surprised to be reminded that Pony's name is not just Pony, which seems like a reasonable name for a pony, but Pony Sindelarant, a name that is actively trolling me. I think every week I forget, as some kind of self-defense mechanism, to come back again and do this. So, hello.
I am a real friend.
Last but certainly not least, everyone's favorite dungeon buddy, it's Micah Sargent.
Hey, hey, hey. I play Elevor Landman, the half-elf druid, as well as Samus, the saber-toothed tiger. And I always forget my dear octopus buddy's name because...
Danu.
Danu. Thank you so much. A new character for me. Samus and Danu use she, her pronouns, and Elevor and I use he, him pronouns. And I think that covers it. I've got too many... beings that I'm controlling. I feel like a god.
Too many beings.
Okay, well, that can't go badly in any way.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to stop picking up sidekicks and
docking items. I'm out.
Yeah. All right, what are you up to? Well, we are in Castle Ravenloft. You have explored, you had a lovely brunch with Strahd. It did not go well. He technically kicked you out of the castle, but he didn't really stay around to enforce it. So you headed down into the basements, the catacombs, and dungeons underneath Castle Ravenloft for a little while until you found a room with a strange magical item that allowed you to teleport throughout Ravenloft. So you chose to go to a study because you were interested in books. I'm trying to piece together the logic of what happened.
Lore.
You went there. You were disappointed in all of the books, is my understanding. There was a very impressive painting of Strahd von Zarovich. Behind the fireplace in the study, you found a secret room. And behind that secret room, you found a secret hallway. And off of that secret hallway, you found at least two secret doors.
Don't forget this the cobwebs.
This is what we call, not the Chamber of Secrets, but the, I don't know, the like side passageway of secrets. A part of Castle Ravenloft littered with a far too many secrets, and as Aline points out, also clogged with cobwebs. You were burning away some of the cobwebs with various fire-based cantrips, when unfortunately you have provoked the interest of several of the occupants of those cobwebs, that being some spiders. So I believe I've asked you to roll initiative. Five giant spiders have dropped down from the areas above. Specifically, Crucible and Elibor, you were in this kind of abandoned belfry area, cleaning up the webs. The spiders have dropped out among you.
Cleaning up.
Lena,
they were burning the crap out of them.
Yeah.
In a clean way. What's cleaner than fire?
Lena, sure. Vasilika, Imra. Is Argal here? For some reason, I thought Argal was still in the study just reading books.
No, he followed once we found part, like the third or fourth secret door. Right. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But he is probably hanging near the back reading this like absolutely gripping young adult novel that he found in Strahd's library.
He'll be reading it for a while. I don't think he reads very quickly.
All right, Lena, as Argal's assigned parental guardian, it's up to you to decide whether he's in any given fight or not. I have rolled an initiative of 22 for the giant spiders. I believe that Elivor, Crucible, and Samus, you are in the room with the spiders, and I'm going to say that you are surprised the giant spiders have dropped down upon you.
Which is hilarious, because you were actively cleaning up spider webs.
There's cobwebs everywhere.
Yeah, it I don't know. Is I, you, a little, you know.
But I will say, you did say that your first priority is cleaning them. So,
and you did say you looked up, and when you looked up, Tony said they're already on their way down. So.
I would argue that Elivor was prepared because he did not want to pull the bell string in case it was a spider web hanging down.
We had to talk you out of that.
No, you had to talk me out of going up to ring the bell, but I did not want to pull the thing to ring the bell because I was worried it
looked like a snake.
A spider. What did I call it last time?
It was something really gross sounding, is what it was.
Yeah.
Spider tail. Yeah.
Dan, once again. Anyway, let's fight.
All right.
In the game, you know or?
Dan, let's fight for that joke.
I've had a day.
Here's what we're
going
to do. I'm going to say you are not surprised by the spiders in general. A spider drops down behind you instead of all the spiders getting surprise rounds. Some of the spiders get surprise attacks on you. You have negotiated. You're not going to take five attacks. You're
good
gonna take
summarize.
If that, anyone says Tony is an unfair DM, they are incorrect.
Plus, that spider's wearing a top hat and a monocle, so it is surprising.
Putting on the Ritz. All right. I'm going to roll one. Let's see here. Three dice. This is going to go to Elivor, Crucible, and Samus in that order. Each of you takes a surprise spider hit. Don't look at the math. Let's see.
don't add all three d20s together.
Pay no attention to the math behind the building.
I rolled a 17 to attack Elivor, a 13. 13?
Doesn't matter.
Hold on.
It's going to have to be way better than that.
It's not going to hit.
Yeah.
Useful.
And I don't. Yeah.
The only 17. One that hits is Elivor's then. Yeah.
Elivor, you get 7 piercing damage and you need to make a constitution saving throw because spider poison is being injected into your many veins.
I only have 2 veins.
That was your mistake, having veins. Let me tell you.
You've got at least, you've got a couple veins.
I definitely did not save. How much damage? 17?
7 piercing damage. 7. And 9 poison damage if you, it was a DC 11 constitution. Save.
I did not.
All right. So you feel not good. Does it do anything else? No, it's just really bad to have in your blood instead of blood. all right, we are going to go up to the top of the order. It will be Imra and Lena. You see this through the doorways, spiders all around. Elevor, Crucible, and Samus, who are caught somewhat flat-footed. So the two of you get to react. Then Team Giant Spider. Then Samus, then Elevor, then Broldish, then Crucible. I don't see initiatives for Vasilica, Pony, Androdite, or Aragol. Maybe they're not important.
Pony goes on my turn, because I'm literally riding him.
And Androdite goes on Imra's turn, right?
Yeah, correct. And I always take her turn.
I don't think we want Vasilica fighting.
I think Vasilica's not in the fight. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
And Aragol is
useless. Watching Vasilica.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Between pages of this, yes. Book.
Just, I'm 10 seconds.
I'm almost done with this chapter.
Just, yeah, one more page.
It's a Dan Brown book. They go fast, but you can't stop me. Anyway.
Once it gets to the end of the chapter, it's going to be a cliffhanger, and he's just going to want to go on to the next one.
I know, but you feel so smart because you get through the chapters so quickly.
It's true.
Yeah. Imra, you are at the top of the order, I believe, or technically you and Lena are tied for initiative, but yeah. I will just remind you, these are the giant spiders you've seen before. You cleared out a whole nest of them in Argenvossholt. If you had to peg numbers to them, you would guess that their armor class was 14 and that they had somewhere in the range of 30 hit points. I believe I've numbered them, if that helps, but, you know, follow your hearts.
Lena feels like it's probably easier to fire into fewer people in melee than more, so she, like, gestures to Imra to go ahead and take the first shot.
After you.
Okay. Well, I can't see all of the spider names.
Yeah, we only see one and two.
All right, Tony, name the spiders.
Tony
here we go.
Tony 1, Tony 2, 23, 24.
But... so there's one to the south that's right in front of Broldish.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm aiming for with my longbow.
I mean, it's not right in front of me. It's on the other side of a wall, but.
Oh, it's on the other side of a wall?
Yeah, because there's a doorway here.
Oh.
So I don't know if you can get around the corner.
Oh, okay.
I mean, well, if you move one square north, you probably can.
Okay.
They're very large spiders, so you know.
All right, yeah, like,
and the room is just full of cobwebs.
There,
so, yeah.
You could probably see.
Imra, you can easily find a position in this hallway that gives you a full view of whatever spider you want to murder without being within range of a smurder.
Okay,
a spider. I call them a smurder as if they were.
I'm not like, I'm not worried about being murdered as much as I just want to stay out of the way because room's getting a little crowded. You know,
that's awesome. Yep.
All right, so I've moved one square so as to facilitate a better view of that spider that's in front of Broldish through the wall. And I'm just going to roll both attacks. First is a 28, second is a 15.
Both hits.
So first damage is 9 points, second is 7, so 16 total points of damage on that one. And I think
I placed a red dot on him, indicating that he is badly wounded.
Good. I'm glad.
All right.
I think that's it. I think it's just a couple of quick shots with an arrow, and then I'm done.
Lena, did you want to hop in?
Yep, she is going to scoot forward, going for the injured one.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, if you could take him off the board before he gets a turn.
Yeah, so that will definitely hit. That'll do, let's see, 6 damage, followed by 15 damage.
Ugh! You just destroy that spider. You slice him into several pieces.
Yay.
There is kind of a weird... There's a weird effect of the other four spiders. They have many eyes collectively between them, glowing red in this kind of dark, gross little belfry. And all of them kind of wink in and out, blinking as if the spiders are suddenly uncertain about this whole murder the hero situation. All right. Lena, you have gone. There are 4 spiders left. They are next. They're in the belfry. There are 4 spiders. There are 4 targets, as I see it, now that Lena has joined it. So, Lena, Elevor, Crucible, and Samus. I'm going to roll 4d20 and we will go
4d20.
Well, it's one. I'm going to roll four attacks and the order will be Lena Elevor Crucible Samus. I have plus 5 to my hit, so 14 doesn't sound very exciting. 8 doesn't sound very exciting. 16 probably doesn't hit Crucible.
Nope.
And 9 is not going to hit Samus.
No.
All right. Whew. I thought there was a chance to pump more poison into all of you.
We're not doing that. We're not having that.
No smoking. All right.
See if you can mop these four spiders up. Samus is first, followed by Elevor.
All right. Samus is going to go for. Let's go for. Spider Tony 1, Giant Spider Tony 1. 18 to hit.
Yep.
14 piercing damage.
Ugh. Samus just, I don't know if Samus spits it out immediately, but Samus just takes a big old chunk out of that spider.
Love it. And then Samus will just hang out.
All right. Elevor.
Oh, I guess Samus should be moving forward, as that's how. Samus got there. And then Elevor will go. I can't see. Let's see. Giant Spider 2. What is this one called?
Good question. 4.
Giant Spider 4. So Elevor approaches Giant Spider 4. And then, or wait, is that going to trigger?
I think you can. Okay. You know.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. Don't. It's a small room. There's plenty of spiders. It's a small room after all.
And. At 20 to hit, I'm sure that does. Elevor's yep. teeth grow into fangs, and you can see poison dripping from his
give him a taste of their own medicine.
Per
your
huge.
Own poison, or is this recycled spider
upcycled,
poison?
Upcycled, Tony, please.
You know, that's, yeah, it's upcycled. I love that. It's upcycled spider poison. A 12 poison damage.
12 poison damage to spider 4. Do spiders take poison damage? I guess so.
No.
Just because they can give it out doesn't mean they have any resistance to it. All right, 12 poison damage. That spider to spider 4. Spider 4 is.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's acid damage. My apologies.
Oh, that's nothing. Way better.
Very little resistance.
Very few resistance. Does anything resist acid damage?
Probably like a black dragon.
Maybe. I was like, what are you made out of that you resist acid damage? Like porcelain? Is there a porcelain dragon?
Slod.
Yeah. There's a porcelain dragon, but they got a glass jaw.
Very vulnerable to shatter.
All right. Spider 4 has taken a significant amount of damage, but it's not bloodied.
How much is that spider in the window? I don't really want it. I think that's going to do it for me. Yeah.
All right. Broldish, you're next, followed by Crucible. Broldish, there are four spiders in there. Two of them have been wounded, one more than the other. Two of them are fresh. Fresh spiders, local spiders, fresh from the source.
All right. Broldish, very excited to get into a fight. She's going to ride Pony in. Pony is going to dash in through the door and attack the spider to the south, the one that's right next to Elevor. And correct. What's going to happen is Pony's just rushing in and is going to rear up on his hind legs, and Pony is going to attack with his hooves as he comes down. And at the same time, Broldish is going to be holding out her axe above her head so that she can then follow Pony's attack with one of her own. Yep. We're doing this in style. If I'm going to ride a pony around a dungeon, then that pony is going to crit. That's what's going to happen.
Whoa.
Yes.
I mean, Pony doesn't do a heck of a lot of damage, but let's see.
Well, double those dice.
Seven.
Double
those. Dice. What is it, Micah? God. What the hell?
Did you guys already record clockwise this week?
No.
So Pony does 9 bludgeoning damage.
All right. Food. That spider is heavily pummeled. It is doing poorly.
And practically at the same time, Broldish smashes down on its carapace with an 18 on the die. For 10 points of slashing damage.
All
is it
right.
still?
No,
it's not. And then, because I'm on a pony and ponies have a lot of movement, mm-hmm. We're just going to keep right on going. So that was almost as we galloped past that That spider just...
It's like a... I think this is how my understanding of how the game Polo works.
sure. Pony does not get to attack again, but I do. Rildish does. And that's a 17 on the die for 6 points of slashing damage.
That's lovely.
All right.
It's just... That does my heart good.
Meanwhile, Lena is just yelling, "Don't ring the bell! Don't ring the bell! Don't ring the bell!"
Rildish is like, "There's a bell?
This bell?"
just to be clear, the spiders seem to have no interest in ringing the bell. Rildish, all set?
Yep. Oh yeah.
Crucible followed by it'll be Imran and Lena at the top.
All right.
So Crucible, you got one badly injured spider right near you. You got other spiders nearby.
Crucible gonna slide over here and start to glow as he utters word of radiance. Can you have those guys give me a saving throw?
Both of them, or
both the ones I'm adjacent to. That will be a Constitution save.
They're both below 10.
Great.
I am rolling.
Real bad today.
Really poorly.
I like it.
Just for the one total party kill player who is keeping charge of all my statistics, I have rolled numbers such as 12, 8, 2, 9, 3, 11, 4, 3, and 7 on the die. That's right. I am not beating 10 with any consistency. So,
well, a rather disappointing 7 radiant damage to both of those. Does it kill the top one?
Does not. It's badly hurt, but it is not killed.
All right. I'm just going to do that one in because I will use my blessed strike to deal an additional 8, which will be a full 8.
Nice.
All right. The full 8. that spider is dead. Let me track the damage on this one. So one injured spider, one fresh spider. It's really just a question of can you kill them before they get a turn?
I think yes.
Oh, Crucible, all set?
Yeah, all set.
Imra, you're at the top, followed by Lena.
All right, I'm going to just step in front of Aragol here. Well, you know, it's cluttered with the bodies of many spiders, but I'll get
so
closer.
Many legs.
Approach
so many
the
legs.
Doorway.
Yeah, I will get closer. Go to the doorway for a better view, I guess. Shoot at the spider in front of Crucible. That's a 26.
Ooh. Ugh, right in its spider belly.
For 7 points of damage.
All right. That spider's in trouble.
And, 13! Ah! I think I didn't hit it.
Yeah, I think that might
can
be the
Crucible
first miss
like,
of the...
tap the arrow in as it goes?
Redirect.
It's an arrow, not a frisbee.
You got confused. Like Pony accidentally kicked the corpse of that one spider, so you thought it was leaping?
Yeah. Ah, so distracting, Pony. Mm-hmm. All right, well, so much for that heroic killing of another spider. I just partially killed another spider.
Lena.
Okay. She's going to scoot up. Take a swing with her sun sword. That will hit. It's going to be 13 damage.
Let me tell you how many hit points this spider had.
Oh, she doesn't even need to sneak attack.
No, okay. That spider had 13 hit points.
That's an opportunity.
Let's see. So I moved 1, 2, 3. I think I have enough to then with her.
So you bisect a spider and keep going toward the other spider.
And then with my other sword, I am going to attack. That is an 18. That will also hit. For 6 damage, followed by 12 sneak attack damage.
This spider is still alive.
Oh no!
It wishes it was not at this. Well,
we can if it wants to like turn its belly up, we can accommodate.
I don't think that's how being a
you
spider
just said
works.
You wished it was not alive.
Okay, well,
we want to deliver on that. We are in the business of granting wishes.
It can jump in the pit if it wants. Yeah, if it wants to jump in the pit, it can.
There's no pit. It would like to climb up and go to sleep in its spider bed.
It can try. I'm going to
die peacefully surrounded by its spider children.
I will attack it. Well, reminiscing
on it has spider children.
Well, it had spider children.
Thousands, not anymore. Thousands of.
Are they named?
Each yes, one there's is Spider 1, name.
Spider 2.
It's Micah 1, Micah 2, Micah 3, Micah 4.
In-depth backstories, each of them.
That's horrifying.
All right. This spider is still here. Spider is trying to think about, does it want to attack Crucible or Broldish? I think it's going to go for Broldish because I think Broldish is going to hit him if he attacks Crucible. Broldish or Lena. It will go for Broldish. You look slightly more edible. I rolled a crit.
What a compliment.
Broldish is a snack.
Samus.
I like that Samus. One on the die.
Samus run over and kill the spider.
Yeah, absolutely. Bada boom, bada boom. Just sort of that beautiful, graceful leaping. 20 to hit.
Yeah, you ever seen a house cat kill a fly? It's a lot like that.
I've seen a house cat kill a spider.
9 damage.
All right. Samus tears the spider asunder. And though there are probably many more spiders in the belfry above you, none seem interested in venturing down to deal with you menacing their webs. So you are now, it is quiet again here in the secret hallway. I will remind you that there is a secret door to the north that has been unexplored. There's that weird passageway with a shaft going up and down through the castle Ravenloft. There are also many, many doors off of the study that you totally had no interest in opening when you could have been poking around in a fireplace.
First, I don't know
where you're going to go back.
Brildish brandishes her axe above her head and shouts, "Hela be praised!" And then turns to Lena and says, "Did you say something about a bell?"
Just imagine that Lena is like just sweating as like tigers leap and horses leap.
As that little bell rope swings back and forth just very slightly. Not enough to ring a bell.
Don't worry about it.
So the only player that took damage, the only character that took damage is Elevore. Mm-hmm. I suspect this was, you've only had the little bits of taste of combat here in Ravenloft. Ravenloft, I think, is going to be a bit of a marathon in terms of lots of little skirmishes that will slowly plink away at your defenses.
Are you
and our sanity?
Is he still poisoned, or is that something that has gone away?
It was not. If
I wasn't ever poisoned.
It wasn't a poisoned condition. It was just poison type damage.
Okay, good.
Are you? Correct. Do you? How is your health? You need.
Oh, it's been a while since someone last asked me that.
Have you aged rapidly? Suddenly,
I'm doing okay for now. Okay. Doing okay.
All right. Save those spell slots then.
Yeah.
Tony Crucible is interested in this other Tony secret Crucible. Door. Tony Crucible.
All right.
Gangster.
What do you want to do
with
that secret door?
Can I peek inside?
Yes. Now this is a secret door, so there's basically kind of a sliding panel in the wall that will kind of slide aside if you push it.
Sure.
All right.
Slide that sucker.
Slide that. The room beyond. Remember how I said that lots of rooms in Castle Ravenloft are going to be annoying.
Sure.
Yes.
Welcome to yet another room.
I seem to remember this warning. Yes.
Yes.
Welcome to yet another room in Castle Ravenloft. The room within is very strange to you, Crucible. Even though you are a student of architecture and archaeology and what have you, there is an octagonal kind of chamber beyond. It has a high vaulted ceiling, the domed ceiling, 40 feet above. The ceiling is painted black and sparkles with a display of stars in an unfamiliar constellation. But strangely, within this chamber is basically taking up almost this entire huge, what is this? Kind of
octagon?
Octagon is a fort. There is like a square tower.
Does Strahd have an MMA fighting ring?
Built inside this octagon.
Wouldn't put it past.
So there is a square tower, 20 feet on a side, 30 feet high, and it appears to be made out of metal. And it like basically goes, each corner of the square fort kind of goes all the way up to the edges of
the
octagon.
Cube?
I guess it's not a cube because it is taller than it is not a perfect cube, no.
Okay.
But
is there a door in the side of it, or is Crucible like looking at a wall right now and does not even know about the other sides of it?
I think Crucible, you enter looking at a wall.
Okay, and the wall's made of metal?
Yeah.
And how high is the ceiling? Like, ceiling's are there, like, crenellations on top?
Yeah, there's crenellations along the top. The ceiling, you know, you're in an octagonal room. It is, like, you know, an 80-foot octagon. 80? 60? 60-foot octagon. But this 20 by 20, 30-foot tall tower is built into it.
Oh, are these squares 10 feet?
I'm bad at scales. What are things?
Usually five.
Because
that looks like it's 30 feet across.
All right, it's that one then.
Okay.
Thank you.
I help.
So this 30 foot across tower takes up most of this room. And it seems to be made out of metal or something. And
sorry if we went over this, I blanked for a second. Is the walls are uniformly at the top, or there are crenellations? Like
there are crenellations.
So it would be possible to, like, in theory, scale it and maybe squeeze in.
Sure.
So there is,
I don't know if we should do that, but it's possible.
So is there's room above the top of the crenellations to get past, like, and then the ceiling is higher than that, or okay.
The ceiling is about, I think, 10 feet above it.
So it's a high rectangular prism inside an octagon with a higher ceiling.
Yes.
Okay.
Just a little bit, though.
And drawing upon my archaeology and architecture knowledge, this does not look like it's, say, an original part of the castle that was then.
It does not look
around.
Like it does not, both in features and material, does not seem to fit with the castle. And also, you are perplexed, and I think it would probably pretty quickly assume that magic may have been involved in the construction of it,
right,
in terms of how would you, unless, like, it also looks more modern, and it's built of metal, so it's right. Like, the only way this tower makes sense is if the ancient castle of Ravenloft was built around it.
Right.
But the tower is clearly more recent than that. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Well, all right.
It looks purposefully enraging.
Yes.
Okay.
So the next question, do we want to do anything about this, or should we just backtrack at this point?
I mean, somebody could poke their head up and see.
Yeah.
Like, over the
there are some options if we want to continue to investigate it. I'm just trying to figure out if it's a distraction or worth our time.
Does anyone have, like, spider climb? Or because if it's 30 feet up, I mean, Lena can climb, but you
there
know,
are also there are arrow slits all around it.
Oh, can we peek into an arrow?
Yeah, let's
slit?
Start with that.
Oh, wait.
Hello.
You know what? Brolish will absolutely peek into an arrow slit.
Oh, there we go. A picture.
That helps.
On the web.
Oh, that's so cute.
It's like a little
that looks like it's from a tower defense game.
I love
that
it.
That may be where that graphic came from, yes.
You didn't mention the gargoyles, though.
Those aren't in the description.
Okay.
They were in the piece of art that I found just Googling right now.
So maybe use you got a mirror or something that we could use to, like, peer into the arrow slits without putting our faces in front of the arrow slits?
I think.
I'm sure I've got a mirror.
You are a mirror.
Lena has a mirror.
Stand there.
I think that thieves' kits come with mirrors.
Yes.
So
I think
she's just gonna,
much dungeoneering equipment does. So
she's gonna, like, hold it up and, like, try and see inside.
All right. You see inside. It's dark inside, but we'll assume that you somehow use a source of light and bounce that. Nothing is shooting out of the arrow slit, so that's a piece of information.
That's good,
one.
Good.
The inside of the tower appears to just be one large room. And there's, from what you can see, Lena, looking kind of back and forth from inside the arrow slit, the inside of this tower seems to be just a pile of treasure. Sacks spilling over with coins, some magic. There looks like there's some magic items propped around them. There's you can see a painting.
But we can't send the octopus in. This
looks like this may
be their diving board at the top.
We did find out
the true treasury.
Yeah, exactly. We did find the thing. The chest in the first room was the false treasury. We know that.
Right.
So this could be real. And I guess if you're going to keep your treasure somewhere, a weird metal tower in the middle of an octagon room past four secret doors and cobwebs and giant spiders. I mean, that's a pretty good place to keep it, I guess.
And again, it does seem like, I think even without having rolled anything, it seems like perhaps this construction that you're looking at might be magical in nature.
Next question. It doesn't have a door like we see there, Tony, does it?
So if you let's just assume that you spent some time trying to scoot around. Somebody would need to climb up over the battlements, and then there is a door on the north side of the tower. The side furthest away from the door into this chamber, and there is a hatch on the top of the tower.
Oh, I like a good hatch.
And I will tell you, in your scouting, the tower itself seems to be constructed out of adamantine.
Oh, brother.
Oh. Okay, so first question, are we approaching this in terms of, like, mundane climbing? Does anyone have spider climb? Or is someone, like, shape-shifting or using a spell to, like, assist in getting around here? Because once we talk in, like, 30 feet, like, that's, like, what, three stories?
Yeah.
I'm a little bit hesitant to guarantee that Lena won't mess up any rolls scooting up that distance.
I mean, I'm down for whatever. I've got multiple ways of climbing.
Yeah, I'm not too worried. We'll say that you spend some time scouting around it very carefully.
Anyone got a ladder?
And determine these things.
Yes, has anyone been carrying a 30-foot ladder around this entire time?
Well,
I have another character that does have a rope of useful things, which you could just peel a ladder off of, which is pretty great.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly,
that character, that character is dead.
He's not dead.
When was the last time you watered
him? Get into the mindset of a deranged vampire lord.
Be careful.
All right, do it. Go, Jane.
Is the fortress also going to be trapped, or are all of the other traps and secret doors and spiders and bells and bits the trap?
I was half convinced that just touching this thing would electrocute you.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah.
Do we want to do some sort of magic detection activity?
Well, do we want to go in?
It is where all the money is and magic items. The magic items could be handy.
There is, at this point, you are, I think, carrying a good amount of wealth in Strahd coins. There is clearly more. Lena, I think, probably with your eye, thousands of gold pieces on the floor, and even some gems. And some items.
I mean,
items
are
the thing that
if we take care of Strahd,
and
we can
also
come back for this.
Like,
but yeah, items,
diamonds for revivify, like,
Yeah, there is a tactical reason to try and do this, but
okay,
yes.
Yeah. Can I have Danu just sneak in and sort of octopus its way
inside?
They can't
squeeze. Yeah, they can squeeze. That's
the arrow slits of the tower are 4 inches wide and 2 feet tall.
Oh yeah.
Okay, octopus that's no. Hand. I don't think that's fair to
have
say.
You seen
that
octopus?
They can
squeeze through these
in 4 inches. That's not a problem.
I think it's a question: how far can he travel on land before he gets real dry?
Octopi can go pretty far. They sneak out of there.
They escape all the time.
All the time.
See
what. But do they come back? I'm just saying, this is this a one way trip? For
do you
Daniel?
Need me? Do you need Crucible to build like a little like helmet for
a little suit?
But a mister.
To what end? Like, how high can octopus? The pods jump.
Also, yeah, I mean, how much let me just wait. I feel like I'm being real generous with moving things along and allowing you to scout things very quickly. I'm gonna say it's totally possible that Danu could go in through a an arrow slit. I think there's just a question of how much can Danu realistically carry as an octopus and fit back out.
I was hoping to look
slit.
For a door because or something, you know, or like an unlock without killing people kind of a thing. Mm.
Yeah. It seems like this is very convenient for people who can turn into bats.
Or mist.
While out of water, the octopus can hold its breath for 30 minutes.
30 minutes. Oh, good.
Nobody has like a mage hand or anything either, do they?
No mage hand.
If anyone can give Lena the ability to climb with help, she will happily do it. Otherwise, I think one of us with some sort of spell or ability should do it. I think our ability to have a baby octopus fetch all the treasure for us may be limited.
Well, being 6 feet tall, I can at least give Lena a boost and get her
started. I'll cast spider climb.
Okay. Or that.
Are you casting it on yourself, Elevor, or someone else?
No, on Lena.
Okay. Lena, you can now climb, I believe, your speed.
Have we done an arcana check to see if the walls or anything around here
are trapped?
Someone
please do that first.
Because I don't have a lot of, I only have 2 third level spells in a day.
I got a 17 on arcana. That helps.
Destruction is magical.
Could someone dispel it?
I don't have
protection from energy on you if we know what kind of damage it's going to possibly do to you, but I don't want to burn that spell.
Detect magic prepped.
Somebody touch it.
I could try dispelling,
Lena has touched it at this point and not been electrocuted. Yeah.
I could try to dispel magic, but I need a yes. target, and if it's fourth level or higher spell, which is a good chance, I'll have to do some rolling.
Okay, Lena's gonna go for it. She's all hyped up because she had spider climb cast on her, and it's like she loves climbing, so she's like just scooting up and down and around, like climbing downwards and sticking to the walls. Like
Crucible's just watching and like kind of like applauding. Like, oh,
it's unsettling for 2 reasons. One of which is she is climbing in an unnatural way. The other one is like she seems really psyched about it, which is like a little bit unsettling.
Rolish is peering in to watch this as well as possible. Yeah.
All right, so Lena, you climb easily up the tower. You just bound over those crenellations without any issue. There is a large adamantine trapdoor or hatch in the top of the tower.
The difference between a trapdoor and a hatch is which direction it opens.
Yeah.
Oh, so it has a roof. It's not just okay.
It has a roof. The trapdoor or hatch is sealed and does not have any kind of visible keyhole or lock unlock mechanism. But I'm just going to say that, you know, you can't help yourself. You give the handle a tug and it does not budge at all.
So I am going to wait for 6 seconds. So it's a new round where I haven't used any movement because that means I get advantage on my investigation check. Okay, with a 27, I'm like carefully combing this door to see if there's anything mechanical here or if I do think it's magical in some way.
You study it carefully, and you think that given your at this point relatively experienced adventuring lifestyle, that this is a magical door, and you suspect that it is opened either directly through magic or has been magic to open in reaction to something. But there's literally no keyhole or physical latching mechanism that you could see that, you know, your thieves tool could be used to shimmy around in.
So Lena is like, Irina, what are things Strahd's likes? And she like peeks over there. And it's like, what are words that we know that Strahd likes? What are, I think it must be like activated by something.
It seems safe to assume that there's some kind of command word would open this door or hatch.
Try I heart arena.
I heart arena.
Spaces or no spaces.
Oh, sorry. Try less than 3.
Yeah. No, I know. Try password.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Password, 5. Ravenloft,
Baba Lazaga.
Baba Lasagna. He might have called her Baba that. We don't know.
Do we know the name of the woman that he thought Irina was?
Yes, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we do.
Izzyk Strozny. Oh, wait, no.
Izzyk Strozny.
Unlikely. I mean, certainly that would be
Lena's
like a
just
deep
shouting the names of NPCs.
That would just be a deep reveal about the secret relationship between Izzyk Strozny.
What was the abbot diva's name?
The abbot.
I believe it was just the abbot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The abbot.
Try it.
Oh, wait. Oh, come on. How do we not start with Rictavio? Everybody loves Rictavio.
I believe we learned that Rictavio was a secret name. that or a fake identity.
Fake name. Yeah,
for Rudolph von Richten. So
what about I love yeah. blood.
Rudolph. I love blood.
Bats.
Bucephalus.
Oh yeah. Oh, the Wunder Horse.
Oh wait. Anyone know Strahd's birthday?
He seems like a Scorpio.
Hey. Did you say Scorpion or a Scorpio?
Both.
Yep, fair.
Tony, could Lena dig back into her memory and retrieve the name of the person who Strahd thought Irina was?
Strahd kept calling Irina Tatiana.
Tatiana.
Which also does not open the
What about web room? Seems to really like cobwebs.
Spider-Man. Strahd plus Tatiana. Four, the number four, Eva.
What does he want? He wants...
power?
Love?
Wife?
Escape? Dominion.
Dress?
We're going to get philosophical. Release?
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that.
Immortality?
He's got that. Damn. I know.
Yeah.
Like, yummy blood.
Maybe he didn't update his password, Tony.
Vengeance? Revenge?
Yeah, maybe it's the original password that this ships with.
Oh, yeah. Is it the default? Can I quickly Google
I'm
it?
I'm thinking that perhaps we are not going to be able to DDoS his... Yeah.
Also, it might be literally voice activated, and it might require Strahd's voice. So
I will tell you, it is probably, I think you are on the right idea, in that it is almost certainly activated via a command word, but you don't know what that command word is.
Yep.
Perhaps if you had spent more time with him at brunch, you would have deeper insight into his soul.
Wait.
Scrambled eggs.
If Strahd is as old as he claims to be.
Yeah, he's pretty old.
Then... he's probably like other people his age in that he has a post-it note around the opening where he has written his password. Can we look around the room for like a password reminder?
Lena can spider climb all over this.
Yeah, let's trick his address.
Is there a mouse pad somewhere?
Lena, there is a pad that he stores mice on, yes. Lena, will you spider climb around the whole thing?
What if we call him up and are like, so, like, Strahd, like, if you had to make a command word
ring,
for something,
ring,
are you gonna social engineer Strahd?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Hi, I'm calling from the IRS.
It's a long shot, but does anyone have one of those spells that lets them see things that have happened in the past?
Oh yeah, but not what? Prepped.
I do have one spell that could work here, but that would literally be my fifth level spell.
Okay, before you do that, my next question is, do we think I could try dispelling the magic? But again, it is kind of risky. Not risky, may not work.
I mean, okay, so we've
what
peeked
level
in.
Is that?
That's only a level three. I have a couple other level three spells.
Do
left.
We
so want to
cast
five,
identify? Do we want to cast identify into the room to see if the stuff in there is worth it?
If that
identify
requires it requires touch.
Well, I mean, if. Elevar can still turn into a rat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you could go in and root around, assuming you don't get killed by some magic as you pass through the... I mean, somebody should like put their hand through the
not
the arrow slit first.
Broadless,
she'll do it. But yeah, and then... But the thing is, anything that's wider than 4 inches cannot be passed out of an arrow slit.
Oh, wait.
All the good treasure is wider than 4 inches.
Yeah. Wait, because I think the determination we need to make is it worth a fifth level spell slot?
Yeah,
it very well could be.
Out of curiosity, Micah, what is your fifth level spell you were thinking about? Because I also have a fifth level spell.
My fifth level spell is called Pass Wall. And it basically makes an opening in anything. It's 5 feet wide, 8 feet tall, and 20 feet deep. So if this tower isn't 20 feet deep, we're good to go.
The walls of the fortress are 3 inches thick.
My fifth level spell is animate objects, which would make them walk themselves out.
But they would still be able to.
There's no passage.
They go through an arrow slit. How big are these things?
So
I
just had an idea.
Very narrow.
See, this is my question about what we can see inside. If there's stuff that is narrower than 4 inches, you know, a healing potion or something like that, then maybe we could take some of the stuff. You know, a sword should be able to fit through heaven forbid, an axe.
Only it depends which way you put the sword through.
I'm not a dog trying to carry a stick through the doorway. Yeah.
I can't get it through. Someone please help me.
Roll dexterity.
It's not a huge deal for me to use a wild shape, which I have flying speed, so I could turn into a bat and fly.
Let me describe some of the objects in this. Yes. So obviously, lots of coins.
There's a PS5.
Piles and piles of coins, which in sack form would not fit through the crack.
Whatever. What are you going to do with money?
A shield? Can a shield fit through a four inch?
Probably not.
It depends on the shield.
Not unless it's made of jelly.
It's sideways.
Well, but I mean, like, I don't know. I guess, like,
depends on what kind of shield. Is it like a kite shield?
Feet,
then probably.
2 feet's
pretty big, right? 4 inches?
2 feet's
the
pretty
shield,
big.
Just right,
okay, so we think the shield would fit through.
But can a bat lift a shield? No.
Yeah.
No, you probably you would stop being a bat when you get in.
But then
there.
I won't have enough to turn back into a bat.
Oh, you wouldn't have. You don't have. So
there's a door on the other side.
I do. I do have two, but I just don't want to use it all. Use them all. But yeah, I just stay inside and like this is where I live.
There's clearly a variety of gems. There's some, and you know, there's a pile of things. It looks like a helm. I don't think you're fitting that through. Some kind of magic staff. There's at least one chest that you don't know what's inside of it because the chest is made of matter.
How did Strahd get all of this stuff in there?
There's a door on the other side
that he can open with a magic word that you guys were guessing for 10 minutes.
Right.
Wait, Dan, you said there's a door on the other side. Do you mean the ceiling or are you talking about something else?
No, the north side. There's a door on the other side. There must be some, if there's a door on the other side.
Then why is Lena not trying to get in that door?
They
probably also... Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, so it also doesn't have a keyhole or anything.
Yeah.
Okay.
How are we meant to find out this stupid password?
Probably there's like a specific NPC.
All right, everybody go back to the library, the study, and we are going to open every single book.
Oh no, what if it was the poetry book?
So, okay, here is my proposal. We do go back to the library. We see if there are any convenient clues. If not, I really like the idea of stealing stuff from Strahd.
Yeah, I mean,
there was a lot of money
in the basement, but it's like, honestly, there's literally more money in this castle than you could ever carry. It's really just about, like, can we throw it out a window so he doesn't have it?
Yeah, I have zero interest in the money. Yeah, I am very interested in taking all of his accessories. Yeah,
I kind
of
want that shield. I'm not lying. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten any magic items
then
yet,
let's
and that
do
looks
it.
Great.
Then let's do it. Let's get
all of
this.
Do you use a
stuff.
Shield?
Yeah, I do use a shield.
Nice. Yeah, you should have one.
And I mean, you could use a helmet. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think there are a variety of ways you could try and get in and out of this thing. Certainly, if you had, knowing the command word would be the least expensive, both in terms of spell slots and other things. But yeah, I don't know. What's your plan?
What about stone shape? Don't you guys have that?
Yeah, I thought about that, but it's metal.
The floor is not metal.
That's a good point.
Oh, just make a
trench
tunnel underneath it.
Yeah. I mean, you can see from the arrow slit, it has an adamantine floor.
Never mind. Ooh.
This is basically a box that has been stylized to look like.
So the other option, I can heat metal, but probably not enough to melt it.
Right.
Tony, I'm going to make you look up the adamantine melting point.
I will look up the... Is adamantine metal or is it made of metal? Okay, that's what I thought. Not like adamantium, a real
so
metal.
I would, yes.
It's actually
I would
not even
propose,
metallic.
I would propose using the thing that generates the doorway, but that is up to Elevore. We could also double back and look at the library, but I suspect it's probably relatively challenging to find that password.
I will just mention one of the things that you know you want to find before you deal with Strahd is some kind of book of knowledge about him that may give you more ideas for passwords.
I would also, before we leave, I would like Lena to check the walls for more secret doors.
True. Yes. Good point.
Yeah. Like, maybe you open one of them, there's a tiny little panel, and you open it, and it's like, command word, horses.
Right.
Oh, horses. My God, it's unicorn, isn't it? I want my rug.
Vistani.
Okay, 29 to inspect blood, this boiling room.
Blood. You feel confident that there are no secret passageways off of this chamber that was four secret passageways deep in Castle Ravenloft. Okay. Sorry.
Don't look at this. Don't look at this like we're bananas.
Three. Yeah, I know. So, okay. I do think that the architecture of Ravenloft is designed to like make you just question everything. Why is this castle this way?
So maybe let's double back to the library.
Yep, more investigation in the library. Look for the
book that contains knowledge. There are many
other chambers on this area. I would allow you, once you've kind of scouted safe paths from one place to another, mm-hmm. I'll allow a little bit of fast traveling
doubling
around
back.
So Ravenloft.
Okay.
If you need to double
Ooh, fast
back.
Travel.
Ooh.
Ooh. We've unlocked
like
the zone.
Disney bracelet. We'll get the Strahd bracelet. We can put little mm-hmm.
fast pass.
Bat charms. Yeah, bat charms. And
I'll warn you, the bracelet does not come off and it is very snug.
Covered in spikes.
I think your hand was purple before you put it on. In. Why are you asking me? All right. So you head down the cobwebby hall mm-hmm. through the false treasury, choosing not to touch the clearly trapped chest yes. next to the skeleton mm-hmm. in the false treasury.
What if the across... command word is in that chest?
No.
Do you think the word is in the chest?
Like
just
on
be clear, the word is...
Do you think the
paper?
Word...
You think there's
you
a
think
piece
the word
of paper
is...
that says...
Ah!
No, because he knows what it is. He doesn't need to write it down anywhere.
Yeah.
But he would just to be a dick.
Right.
And you are back in the study, just to remind you, the study / library, which you travel through here through magical means. You do not have an easy way to travel back to the basement, is a richly appointed study. There was a roaring fire until somebody put it out. There's lots of books. There are many doors, the full deal, off of this room. I see two doors to the north, double doors to the west, single door to the south, and of course the fireplace that you traveled through to the east.
All right, Rildish is going to start like pulling books off the shelf to see if there are secret books behind them.
All right.
And if anything looks like a journal or something handwritten as opposed to...
You start doing that. Bro, just give me a quick investigation check.
Sure. Oh, investigation.
And I'll just say, do other
minus
people
one.
Want to be doing
yeah,
that?
I will definitely.
Yeah.
I'll try.
10.
7.
It's also 2. Possible that there are other library rooms.
Yeah. So you are just rooting through these books. You know, this is a library that would be worth tens of thousands of gold pieces, assuming you right. can transport it and resell it somewhere. You want to become booksellers. There's all kinds of books. There's tomes on alchemy. There's a bestiary. There's various biographies of ancient queens and kings. There's a recipe book, a book on heraldry. Not a lot in terms of fiction, but some historical texts, poetry, anthologies, and theological texts. All of it seems to be fancy published works. There does not seem to be anything that was, you know, there's just no journals or notes or things by Strahd
point
or
of
by
order
anyone in the
when we reshelve them. I'm reshelving them out of order because I know how that drives Strahd nuts.
All right, and there are no
I want to take the bestiary.
I put whole shelf in backwards so it's just right. the pages sticking out.
I thought you actually took the shelf out.
I thought
Strahd
was the monster.
I'll do that with a different
you
one.
You know, part of Ravenloft is it reveals who the monster is in all of us.
It's Strahd.
This is to taunt Strahd.
So there do not seem to be any secret books hidden behind the books, nor secret passageways activated by classic book opening.
Do we
I would
check
suggest
the
that perhaps
doors?
You would like to
let's look in some of the other rooms.
Some of the doors. So south many first. Doors you could open. What was that?
I said, why don't we try south first?
Let's listen at all of the doors before we pop
everybody
open.
Pick
okay,
a door
listen
and
at
listen.
The south door first.
Yep.
All right, pick a door. I will let you listen at all doors. You have 10 people you can divide up.
All right.
Okay.
Can Pony listen at a door?
Can
Aragorn listen at a door?
No.
He can, but he doesn't report anything.
I kind of imagine that you talk to Aragorn kind of like the way you would talk to like a five-year-old, like where you'd let them try, but then you'd be like, we're just going to check, buddy, just to make sure it was okay.
Oh, good listening, though. Good listening, Aragorn.
Yes.
I'm listening at the southern door, and I rolled a natural 20, which gives me a 21.
I rolled an 11 at the upper.
A maths 21. There, it is quiet beyond the south door. Crucible, you are listening at the
double doors,
western
I rolled
doors.
11, which is not fantastic.
You don't hear anything. Lena, you're at the north door. What'd you roll?
18.
Lena, you think you might have heard the sound of the wind in the distance, suggesting that there might be some, you know, some passageway beyond you that's open to the outside elements.
Huh. Androdite's gonna listen next to Crucible.
All right. What does Androdite roll with his with her Androdite-y dog-like perception ease?
19 total.
Androdite hears someone snoring.
Pony is going to listen at the top left door, and
Pony
gets a 15.
Pony hears nothing.
Okay. Pony tells me that, and I tell everybody else.
So your options include nothing, the wind, or gentle snoring.
Well, I say we start with nothing, and then
there were two nothings.
Well, I would say that we start with the snoring, because if we make noise in the other rooms, the snorer might wake up.
Maybe we should have Lena very, very quietly open that door, assuming it's unlocked and untrapped.
Let's check.
But that's good logic. I support that.
Yeah.
With a 25, is it trapped?
It is not trapped, as far as you can tell.
Okay, I would like to sneakily open it.
All right, you sneakily open it. The room beyond is lit by candlelight that kind of spills out into the library study from which you are looking into. You can also see far across from where you are, Lena. There are large windows looking out over the battlements and over the hills and dales of Barovia in the distance. This room is rather fancily set up. There's heavy red drapes all around, lots of gold tassels glinting in the candlelight, tall white candles burning in candle holders. The major kind of object in this room is there is a large canopied bed on kind of the northern side. It sits against the northern wall. Carved into the headboard is a giant ornate letter Z. And it does seem like there is somebody lying in the bed among the velvet and satin sheets.
Who's that sleeping in my bed?
Braldish, can you throw a detect... undead or whatever, whatever thing it is that you do.
Yeah, I will bust off one of my divine senses. So yeah. Peeking through the cracked
She disappeared.
Oh, sorry. I wasn't sure if the token was visible to you or not. It was. Apologies.
Ghost.
So I peek
pay no attention.
The cracked open door and I bust off my divine sense. So. Till the end of my next turn, I can sense anything affected by the hallow spell. I can know the location of any celestial, fiend, or undead within 60 feet that's not behind total cover. I think there are some other specific things which I will look up and see if they are appropriate to this.
All right.
But
there do not seem to be any celestial, fiend, or undead within 60 feet of that bed. The thing in the bed is snoring kind of quietly.
Do the undead snore?
I don't know, but she's not undead.
They might, but this person is definitely not undead. Snoring's
basically breathing.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Yeah. The presence of strong evil registers on my senses like a noxious odor, and powerful good rings like heavenly music in my ears. Am I smelling or hearing anything like that?
No, right down the middle.
Okay. And there's nothing consecrated or desecrated.
I can think of nothing less creepy than if this woman wakes up and we're all standing around her bed.
Well, you prepare to think of something creepier, because I'm going to sneak up, cover her mouth, and wake her up.
Oh, my God.
That's possibly less creepy. I don't know.
Love it. Love it.
Listen, if she's...
Do you know you're in a vampire's bed?
Well, I mean, potentially, if she's just a person, we have to get her out or... learn from her.
She's being kept here against her will.
Yeah, that's what Lena is like appearing. Like she like gestures, like cover mouth, creep, creep, creep. But she can be talked out of it quietly.
No, Broldish is nodding vigorously.
Does anyone object to this?
No.
Nope. Okay.
This person, creature, this is sleeping, so it seems like asking Lena to do a stealth check is kind of a formality. There's even, you know, in here, I think there's probably some of this room is carpeted, so it's probably pretty quiet to move across.
Elevor is conflicted because on the one hand, it's really not his jam to scare someone who's asleep. But on the other hand, the quicker you get the person out of the bed, the quicker he can flip the bed.
Elevor is strictly a scaring awake person kind of guy.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
I don't know if this is any help at all, Lena, but I could also just cast silence over that room.
Why didn't we do this with the bell?
No one rang it anyway.
Yeah that's happened. True.
We're going to be asking a lot of why didn't.
Elevor's running back to go ring.
And maybe a hat on a hat at this point.
Yeah.
All right.
What level is silence?
2.
Yeah, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. Lena, take us away.
So I'm going to creep up. Do I see anything else in the room? Other than this is a creepy room where he stores a lady.
It does seem to be this. I think these ornate bedchambers and the ornate letter Z carved into headboard. I think, Lena Delina, you would conclude that this is Strahd's personal bedchambers. There does seem to be a young woman in the bed sleeping. One of her legs is kind of sticking out, and there's slippers that have kind of been just dropped at the foot of the bed. They're pink bunny slippers.
So if she seems like cozy, maybe
she's sleeping. I'll share the picture with you. This is obviously her awake. Yeah. It's not what she looks like asleep. Imagine her with the eyes closed.
Wow. Her head is very large.
Yeah.
Does she have a pale pallor to her, or does she look sort of?
You know, she's not undead. Any
Barovia. You know. Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot you.
People in Barovia do not get the appropriate amount of vitamin D. So you know, yeah, she's just snoozing there.
Okay,
looks cozy, all wrapped up in Strahd's
blanket.
Worst
case scenario, we have to stash her in a cabinet or something. Now that I know that it's Strahd's room, I'm like, do we really want, is this his girlfriend? What do we want to?
Probably.
Elevor's going to pop
She could
his...
like him, is the thing. But you know what? Right is
Someone
right.
needs to talk her out of it then.
I think.
Someone needs to.
Yeah, that's true.
It's time for some girl talk.
Let's get real.
Can I just, though, he would whisper, check for secret doors. Just because that's what we've been doing in every room.
But that's maybe when she's awake already. I'm going back.
Okay.
There are actual doors to the south.
There are actual doors to the south.
Okay, so Lena is going to, with her cat-like reflexes, just put a hand over her mouth and kind of lean in. Trying to look non-threatening, but it's Lena and she has a face scar. So
yeah,
you know.
All right, and then you wake. All right, you put a hand over her mouth. The woman reacts by saying,
and I make a shush finger, and then I look at her and I nod. I gesture to myself, trying to look friendly.
Can I make a performance check? Yeah, I was gonna say, is that a bluff or a performance check for Lena to look friendly?
That's 16.
I think performance.
16.
Wow. It's 16.
16 on your performance check. Why is this strange woman here sleeping in Strahd von Zarovich's bed? Does she wish you ill, or is this someone that you will rescue from the vampire lord clutches? What strange stories might this woman share with you? What information might she have about Castle Ravenloft? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time to Total Party Kill.